Bible and open them to Galatians chapter 6. I appreciate you being here, coming out enthusiastic, well rested, ready to rightly divide the word of truth, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be known to God. And so God's peace is yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation. And so fearing nothing from God and nothing from men, that peace that passes all understanding is garrisoning and guarding your heart and mind this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You should be in Galatians chapter 6. Maurice, I got too much input gain on me. I might have to start shouting. I won't scare nobody and cause any feedback. Praise the Lord. If you're there, say, I have it. Okay, we're about to do our Bible confession, but before we do, I want you to turn to your neighbor and look them in the eye. Try to find somebody that don't stay in your household and tell them, smile, God loves you and so do I. Oh, I feel the love. I feel the love. Praise the Lord. Hold your Bibles up in a comfortable position and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I said I'm not a doubter. I am a doer. I'm not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to put your Bible down, and I want you to use your entire body and give God a praise offering. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to break these habits. We get lazy. We get used to stuff. It's good to have order. But we don't want to be so ordered that we don't allow for the presence of God to do what he needs to do in the service. You are inhaling and exhaling. You didn't do that on your own. You can't see me, and you didn't do that on your own. You didn't make yourself. You didn't provide protection as you drove here today. That was the great. All of that is the grace of God. If we just live in that every moment, we'll praise God a little differently. When I say, let's give God a praise offering, he's worthy of all of it. You ain't never had to hold on to your Bible to give him a praise offering. You could always put it in your seat. You can jump up at any time. I appreciate a good amen corner. Amen. Praise God. You should be in Galatians chapter 6. And we're in the series, the due season series, and prayerfully, this is the last week, as we are going to be focusing on verse 10 today, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 10 today on the count of three. One, two, three. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Give God a praise offering. Praise the Lord. And you know, this scripture is especially interesting. It's one of the ones we just brush past, because we want to focus on not being weary while doing good or being not deceived. God is not mocked. But really, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. And that opportunity word is actually the same word as season. And we defined season last week as the appointed time. And so therefore, as we have appointed time, let us do good to all. So in due season, we're going to reap, but also in due season, we need to do good to all. Same word, kairos in the Greek. And so we need to seize the opportunities when they present themselves to do good to all, not just those in the household of faith, but those outside of the household of faith as well. We have to be about the practice of doing good. Why? Because the world is about the practice of doing evil. And we need to be set apart from the world. We like to decide whom we're going to bless based on merit or category. So either you look like me, you sound like me, you act like me, you my people. I still cannot understand, and someone has mentioned this plenty of times, why there is true poverty in the world or true homelessness in the world when there is obviously enough money for everybody to be provided for. It just has to do with the matter of the heart and what you think your money is for. And it wouldn't even cost us a lot to meet the need of every person in the world. It just requires some organization and a little bit of effort. We don't even need a lot. We just need a little bit. And so as we have opportunity, we're supposed to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so we like to interpret the household of faith in many different ways, but it is what the word says it is. I looked it up. It's not too complicated. It is those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the believer, we're supposed to especially make sure that those needs are met, which means as you are approaching how you are a blessing, you should seek to be a blessing and do good to the believer before the other. Amen. Which means if your mama ain't a believer, you should seek to do good to the believer before your mama. Before your daddy, before your children. That's what the word says. There is something special about those who are of the household of faith. If you are saved, if you are a believer, give God a praise offering. So that means we all have a special connection. And we have a special connected because of whom we are connected to, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that we've been saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We've confessed and believed. And because of that relationship, then we should be doing good just because of that relationship. But to each other, we should be doing good. Which means if there is someone in the household of faith that has a need, and I have the means to meet the need, I'm going to do good. I'm not going to wait until Pastor Valerie tells us to do something. I'm going to handle the situation because that's what God has instructed me to do. My right hand ain't going to know what my left hand is doing. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to wait for the church to give. If I have the means to meet the need, I'm going to do good to the household of faith. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And while y'all are flipping over, I'm going to read the scripture in the Amplified. I got excited. Galatians 6:10 in the Amplified says, "So then, as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage, being mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers." Amen? You should be in Proverbs chapter 3. If you're there, say, "I have it." We're going to read verses 27 and 28 together. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. On the count of three. One, two, three. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go back and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Give God a praise offering for the word. And a lot of times we move in a poverty mentality, not just in terms of finances, but in terms of love, in terms of peace, in terms of joy. We act like we don't have it, and we just barely got it, so we got to hold on to it, and we can't give it. Even though the word tells us, and we're going to get to it in a little bit, giving it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So we know the principle of giving is that when we give those things away, they're going to come back to us, but we want to hoard it. And so in Proverbs 3, it's saying, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. So if we're thinking about all, then do not withhold good from all the people, especially to those of the household of faith. We're taking our Old Testament and New Testament and putting our hands together. When it is in the power of your hand to do so. And so sometimes what is good is not that you have the $1,000, but that you have the favor with the person who has the $1,000 to give the $1,000. But you don't want to put your name on the line because you don't believe that so-and-so is taken care of, or you may pause, or you may think. And I think that the difference between the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold blessing is the extent of time in that pause, a lot of times. Because we drag our feet being about the business of the things of God. But the word says, in the Amplified, it says, withhold not good from those to whom it is due, its rightful owners, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. And then the writer goes on to say, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. If you got it on you, give it. Even if you have it on you for the intended purpose of something else. It's funny. I at one point, I just stopped taking cash out of my bank account because every time I had it on there, then the Holy Spirit would be like, give it away. Every single time I have a $100 bill, it goes to one person. That for unintended purpose. I'm like, I can have 520s and they don't go like that. But every time I have that solid 100, he go out the door to some purpose that I had no intention for. It was meant for me to be a blessing. And so if we are waiting because we like, oh man, this is my last 100. Give your 100. If the Lord tells you to, the word says, don't tell your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it. There's an immediacy to that when you have it. If you don't have it, you can't give it. There were times when I wouldn't have $100 bills, so I couldn't afford to give them. Now that I can, I give them because I'm not worried about being out of the $100 bills for whatever reason, I got it. In most cases, if you got one, you can go and circle back and get another one. Or believe God that he will bring the blessing back to you. But don't withhold good from those to whom it is due. And that's not just your money. That's your ability. That's your time. That's your strength. Sometimes I have the ability to do things. We had a member who got a new phone and needed to work on the GroupMe. Now, I could wait and say, okay, I'm gonna call you later, but no, I'm gonna stand there and help you today now because it's good and it's for me to do, and why would I withhold it? Why am I waiting for later when it's within my control to do now? I'm not, you know, and it's not just about being chivalrous if you're a gentleman. I don't care who you are. If I see you struggling with some packages and it's within my ability to help you, I'm going to help you because I think about the fact that I have strength in my body to pick up things. And if it's within reasonable strength and I can do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait or call the usher or call a man to come do it, even though they get mad. Because the word says, do not withhold good. If they catch up, I'll let them take over. But do not withhold good. I'm not going to let you fall. Especially those of you of the household of faith. Why would I do that? I'm going to be a help. I love, one of the things I love about being pastor is that I don't generally get assigned to do things on days like community feeding. So then I have the opportunity to do good wherever the help is needed. So I just fill in the thing. And so a lot of times you'll hear me saying, do you need some water? You need anything? Because I see y'all out there struggling. It's hot. And y'all fanning and carrying on. I'm not of the assignment. I'm going to do good to you, especially you of the household of faith, because you doing the work of the Lord. Why can't I run back and forth to the building? I got strength for that. I don't have to send anybody to do that. I'm going to do good. I thought about the fact that we were blessed to have a woman of God called Miss Fanny, who did good to all at all times. You want to be and understand what these scriptures are talking about? Be like Miss Fanny. We were blessed to have a man of God and Pastor Goodwin who taught us how to rightly divide the word of truth. And a woman of God and Miss Fanny who lived the word of truth. And so if you need an example of doing good to all, especially those of the household of faith, that's why y'all celebrate her. And call her name and say that she is special because she did good to you. And a lot of times it was at sacrifice of her own. And it was immediate. Miss Fanny ain't ever get back with you. She took care of the need immediately. She never got back with you. She had the conversation immediately. She didn't get back with you. She hugged you immediately. She slipped you something immediately. And it's not because I was her kid. She did it to all y'all. So you got to live it out and be generous and understand that you're sowing seeds, but it's part of your mission to do good. That distinguishes us from the world, to do good. Amen? Turn over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Hallelujah. I know that y'all are like, where is Titus? Let's Matthew, Mark, Luke. We in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the Corinthians. We got Titus, Philemon. And I didn't mark it either, so I'm right there with y'all. We're going to find it together. Amen. Lord, I marked all my scriptures but Titus. First Timothy, Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon, if you got to Hebrews, you went too far. Titus chapter 3, it's not a long book, but it is a book. Is everybody there? I see the Holy Spirit. He made me just do what y'all do too. Be like, Titus. Yes, Titus. There's some Instagrams. Y'all are continuing to find Titus because I hear the page is still flipping. There's an Instagram video going around with the people that are like, tell me this about the Bible. You know, give me any books of the Bible, the first five. And it is just so funny that people just don't know about the word today. But Titus is in here. It was one of them. I know it sounds like an old man name, but it's a book of the Bible. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 8 together. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. On the count of three. One, two, three. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Give God a praise offering. Praise the Lord. And this is Paul writing to Titus. And he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. This should be constant work that we do. That those who have believed in God, that's the believer, should be careful to maintain good works, which means you don't do a good work one time and think you're done. It's maintenance. And in our society today, we like to talk about maintaining. Got to maintain your hair, maintain your nails. You need to maintain your good works. And the Amplified, it says, this message is most trustworthy, and concerning these things I want to insist steadfastly, so that those who have believed in, trusted in, relied on God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and to doing good. For such things are not only excellent and right in themselves, but they are good and profitable for the people. So we should be about the business of doing good works for everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. Amen? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read 6, 7, 8, 9. I want you to read 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're looking at verses 6 through 10. If you're there, say, I have it.
I have it.
Praise God. I'm going to begin. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Begin. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Give God a praise offering for the word. Don't worry, we're going to get back to 11 and 12 before we get out of here. Now, look at these first scriptures. We've been talking about this, and we most often quote these scriptures in terms of tithes and offering, but it doesn't really just talk about tithes and offerings. It just talks about sowing and reaping, which Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. And so he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, which means if you're going to do good works, you got to purpose it in your heart to do so. Not grudgingly or of necessity. So you're not doing good works just so people do good works to you. You're doing it because it's a command from the Lord. For God loves a cheerful, prompt to do it giver. If you've been listening, if you know, you know. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. As you are giving cheerfully, as you are sowing the way that you're sowing, that's when God's grace abounds towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So in order for you to have an abundance for good work, you gotta sow and then reap abundantly. And then God will make it his business to make sure that you have the provision to always abound for every good work. So there is a relationship and a correlation to abundance. Abundance is not for you to amass more, but to do good work and always have enough to do good work. That's why the Lord puts the 100 in my hand, because he knows I'm going to be obedient and give the 100 out my hand. And that's why there's more than where that 100 came from. And I ain't running out of 100s to give out. And ain't gonna, because I'm going to keep abounding to every good work. I remember the first time I gave away my first $100 in a service. I think it was to Dr. Bridget. She came for something. And I was a grad student. I wasn't making nothing. I was making $221.50 twice a month. It was hard out here. I had to get my gas to get to and from campus. This is back in 1999. $221.50. But I gave a sacrificial offering of a $100 seed to her, to the ministry, as they came for a conference. And I just remember thinking, Lord, if I'm giving this today, let me always have an abundance for the good work. And so because he can trust me to give it out, then I always have an abundance for good work. I don't have an abundance for everything, but for good work, to make sure that his work is continued in the earth, to make sure that needs are met, knowing, okay, I normally give $20 to the kids for gifts, but I got to give $50 this time because that's what the need is. And I have it, and it's an abundance for good work. I'm not just giving gifts to give gifts. I'm meeting needs. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. And there is something very freeing about giving up your thoughts of what people expect and doing what thus says the Lord in regards to your money, in regards to your time and your effort. Some of us feel worn out because we keep giving our finances and our effort and our time to those who aren't of the household of faith. You just exchanging gifts. And I just don't participate in the gift exchange. I have stepped away from that, even on my job. And then I'm free. Because I ain't got to worry about what you giving me. And I ain't got to worry about running around trying to get things to give you that God didn't call me to do. And I have those finances to give to those of the household of faith. How does Pastor Fowle give everybody and Diane give everybody a certain amount of money in their card for their birthday every year? Because I'm sowing bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always having sufficiency. Every time it's somebody's birthday, I don't ever come up short. I'm not missing the money. Because it's what he's instructed me to do so that I can have an abundance for every good work. The Amplified says, now let's look, keep going. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Listen to it in the Amplified, verse 11. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, God's people, but also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. When God is being glorified, when God is directing your giving, thanks always goes back to Him. Think about Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine, so that men can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thanksgiving should be funneled back to God. Here's another indication of whether the works you're doing are good or not. Do you get all the credit, or is God getting the credit? Do people see God in you? Are you letting your light shine, or are you just taking the thank yous? It's for His good works, which means His light should shine whether people thank you or not. Thanksgivings go to God, not to you. So you can do good works, and I can bring you your bottle of water, and you may or may not say thank you. But as long as you like, ooh, thank you, God, that's what's most important, because I am not important. He is important. And it centers what needs to happen. And so as we are giving, if we're talking about giving and multiplying, if it's time, if it's effort, take, for instance, if you substitute strength in this scripture, you need strength to do the good work. And the word says, if you sow strength sparingly, you gonna reap strength sparingly. If you never pick up your hands to do anything in the house of God, you're not going to reap anything from picking up your hands to do things in the house of God. There's something very humbling about cleaning them toilets back there. Because sometimes people, you know how you clean your toilet at home. You make sure you get around the base and the bottom to make sure that it's an excellence in the house of God. If you sow good works in that way, you're going to reap good works in that way, which means you ain't going to have them knee problems that everybody else talking about once they hit that 40 and that 50 and that 60, because God's going to sustain your knees, because He knows you're using your knees to do His work. He's going to sustain your arms and your strength, because He knows you're using your arms and strength to do His work. And how does Mr. Lewis stay strong? He's always abounding in the work of the Lord. He always doing something. How Mr. Hopp stay so fit? He always doing stuff. He taking care of the needs of the saints. They busy about doing the good works. How is Maurice so smart with the technology? He always using his brain for the work of the Lord. It's not a surprise. You stay sharp when you're doing the things for the people of God and the things of God. I'm looking at the Zoom on Wednesday night. I said, Lord, Maurice done gone over there. See about Miss Clayton's computer. And he's sitting on the side. And yet the Lord will continue to bless him exceedingly, abundantly, above. I don't even know how it's going to come back. But if you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, perhaps something happened where Maurice now has insight to bring to his job that's going to bring him bonuses, that's going to bring him to good works. It makes him more indispensable, because he helping the needs of the household of faith. And you ain't asked Maurice to come to your house. That's why he ain't come to your house. But if you had asked, he might have come. And so we need to be, it's not always the money. It's what we have. It's what God has blessed us with and the way we serve. And sometimes it's our influence. Because if I say to do a thing, it gets done. When people call me on my job and they're like, so-and-so, they gonna name drop quick. Because they know the name drop is going to provide access to me in a way that the non-name drop won't. So I ain't going to give you my name to drop. If I tell any of y'all, Pastor, if tell them Pastor Val said, then you know I said. Because I'm not going to do that unless I am assured. And so sometimes we have favor with folks. Sometimes we can unlock things, and we don't need, we can save somebody thousands of dollars just by saying, on my word. And our word is yes and amen and good. And so you never know how your influence is going to be good works, but you're supposed to give it, especially to the people of the household of faith. So I'm not going to withhold my favorite car salesman from you. I'm going to send you to my favorite car salesman with my approval and blessing. Not for the $100 reference that I get every time I send somebody to him, but because it's good works. I know this person's going to take care of you like they take care of me. And we have to be about that business. Amen? Amen. Turn over to James chapter 5. It's some of it is about the money, but it's not just about the money. Amen? James chapter 5, and when you get there, say, I have it. It should be very close. We're just a couple of books away. Flip toward the back, James chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to read 14 and 15. I want you to read verse 16. Amen? James chapter 5, 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Begin. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Give God a praise offering. And James is writing here, but he's writing to believers. He says in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We don't like to talk about our business. I'm cutting across the field. We think our business is ours and we don't want to share. But we have to learn how to be better members of the household of faith. Which means if you're talking believer to believer and you believe the believer is aligned with the word of God, then you got to trust them. Amen. Because God trusted them. He sent someone in their path to plant and water so that he could give the increase for salvation. He brought them here to Steadfast Christian Center and he placed them here. And so we got to trust one another enough to... As it says in verse 16, confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. If I'm having severe migraines, I'm going to confess my faults and I'm going to call for the elders of the church so they can lay hands on me and anoint me with oil. I'm not going to sit there and suffer because I'm a private person and I don't want nobody to know what my particular sickness is. We want to be so confidential that we'll want to be confidential above having all of us on one accord. One person putting 1,000 to flight, two putting 10,000 to flight on our particular issue. We need a new house real bad, but we don't want to confess that we need a house real bad because we don't want nobody to know we got put out of our house. Who cares? You ain't got no house. confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we will walk around short of our healing because we don't trust one another, because we're not doing good works. And so all of that is in context. I got to see your good works. That's why y'all went to Miss Fanny, because you saw her good works. And then you trusted her to pray for you and not talk about you, which means that we got to be the kind of people that we pray for one another and not talk about one another. We're supposed to be watching and praying. So if we see some things, that we pray. And we don't just open our mouth and say, did you see what Diane had on today? She had that hole in her shirt. Diane may not even knew she had a hole in her shirt. You don't talk dirty about her like she ain't got no clothes. Then all of a sudden, Diane get 10 bags of black shirts because she got something caught on her shirt. She don't need no black shirts, y'all, I'm telling you. Because she got something caught on her something. Because you, instead of just praying for one another, the Holy Spirit would have revealed to you, she fine. Just tell her to watch her shirt. That's all you had to do. Then you done gone thinking you doing good works. You ain't doing nothing. You just being nosy. Oh, I saw Pastor Val out on a date with so-and-so, and I thought that dude, that ain't your business. If you see me out in the streets, I be out in the street. You're supposed to be going out into all the world and preaching the gospel to every kingdom. Just because I'm with a man in a location at a time that you would consider a daytime don't mean I'm on a date. I could be in a serious witnessing situation. Or I could be on a date and it still ain't your business. You're just supposed to pray for me. Not talk about me. Period. The Amplified says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another. Wait for me to confess my faults. Then you'll know. Otherwise, just pray for me that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If we want to see tremendous power being made available here in Steadfast Christian Center, we got to pray for one another. We got to be able to confess our faults to one another. That means there's work for us to do. It don't happen overnight. It doesn't. It's starting to happen, though. We get asked these questions in our Bible class, and sometimes people really do keep it real. And you're not going to keep it real unless. And if you see that fellow members of the Bible class are keeping it real, don't get on there and be super spiritual. Confess your faults so we can pray for your healing, so that we can learn we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God is not having you experience these things for you to keep it to yourself. If you're experiencing it, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. That means everybody else going through it through too, and we all need victory over it. And so we should open our mouths and share, because God has given us the victory. And if we don't have the victory yet, we should share so that we can get on one accord and make tremendous power available so we can be delivered and healed and set free from these things and not suffer in bondage. We're not meant to walk this road of Christianity by ourselves. First of all, you got to have a relationship with Christ. But Christ didn't put us here in isolation. We don't do self-Bible study every night as our only means of growing and maturing in the things of God. We're not supposed to forsake ourselves the assembling of one another together. We're supposed to get together. We're supposed to have a body of Christ. We're supposed to watch out for each other. We're supposed to take care of each other. And so as we end 2025 and go into 2026, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. And so stop acting like you're doing this thing by yourself. You ain't doing it at all. It's God living and working in you. It ain't you. And so we've got to learn to trust him and then trust one another. And if I happen to say something to you that pisses you off, you're supposed to forgive me. And if I come at you wrong, you're supposed to forgive me. You're supposed to address it with me and kill it with me right then and there. And if you feel that it wasn't killed, you're supposed to bring a believer along with you as a witness. And if not, we're supposed to bring it to the front of the church and kill it all together. Because there is something about cauterizing the wound. We got to burn it off so that we can heal from it. If you're in surgery and they're suturing something, they burn it, they kill it, so that the disease won't grow, so infection won't grow there. They clean it out. And we just let stuff fester instead of addressing. And then we don't want to turn around and say, okay, I'm having these issues, these problems, these challenges that I need prayer for. And when we are doing the altar call at the end of church, it's not for you to figure out what's going on with people. It's for you to be on one accord so that the need can be met. Amen. So as we have more altar calls at the end of service, we got to be better about it. We have got to be better about it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10 says this. And this is my closing. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise offering for his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.